Hey everybody, welcome to the Faith and Fandom Podcast. Hector here, taking a solo discussion with you, just because I need a mental health break with what I've been doing and working on today. And it's either you or talk to one of the people in Animal Crossing again, which about this point, it's all kind of blurring together, so I hear Tom Nook when other people speak now. It's probably not healthy. But just letting you know some stuff, work in progress wise. I spent most of the day, when I'm not doing the other things I'm doing, working on an Alfred chapter for Faith and Fandom Book 7. Book 7 is going to be, you know, the next book. And Mike Perna is a dude that I am associated with in geeky ministry and things like that. And Mike made a comment a little while back that the Christian church should be more like Alfred and less like Batman, to effect. And I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but he just made that quote that kind of stuck out to me. And been kind of like mentally working on a chapter on those lines about the fact that we're called to be servants, not vigilantes, that we're called to love those that are broken, not, you know, punch them in the face. And been working on that. But one of the bases for what I'm doing with that is that going off of the death of Alfred and Batman 77, and one of the things with it is most people don't know that Alfred's dead. I get it that even in the geek world, we go full muggle, that if you don't read comic books, you might miss something completely happening. And, you know, Alfred died a while back, and Alfred died a ugly, painful death. Thomas Wayne, which is Batman's dad from Flashpoint, who is an evil Batman. Thomas Wayne, along with Bane, took over Gotham and expelled all of the Bat family with the warning that if any member of the Batman clan rolled up into Gotham, that Alfred would die. And then in issue 77, Damian rolls up into Gotham, gets caught, and violence warning ahead of, you know, brace yourself if you're sensitive to these things. Bane snaps Alfred's neck in front of Damian. So in front of, you know, an 11, 13-year-old boy that looks at this dude as his grandfather or father, depending on the day, Bane straight snapped his neck in front of him. And that's rough enough. And they left it open-ended where you didn't even know if Alfred was officially dead, like if it was a nightmare, if it was, you know, Clayface, because Clayface was back in Gotham or anything like that. You know, it was just one of those things of like, nobody knew if Alfred was totally, totally dead. And then in issue 83, they straight went for it and showed you that Alfred was dead. And not only was he dead, the issue that they confirmed that in is, man, the problem is a lot of the quotes and a lot of the stuff that I'm pulling from today revolves in this one issue. And honestly, it's mentally traumatic reading this issue. So if you want a masterpiece of storytelling, Batman 83 is in fact a masterpiece of storytelling. But it is ridiculously traumatic. And Tom King, and I love Tom King, if you've heard me mention this dude's name, Tom King does not pull punches. He had a church shooting with the Joker. He did some crazy, crazy stuff in his run that further, you know, just escalated who the character of Batman was. He dealt with integrity, did a lot of things, but, you know, he killed Alfred. But in Batman 83, Bruce has been, like, captured and drugged or knocked out or whatever. And Bruce awakens to find that he is sitting at a table across from Alfred's dead body. And not only is he sitting at a table across from Alfred's dead body, that they have bricked him in a room with Alfred's body. And I'm not kidding, y'all. The sheer gut-wrenching remorse and pain that they drew into Batman's face in this thing, even through a mask, is, oh my gosh, it's so brutal. And here's the deal. It's fantastic storytelling. But I've literally spent hours today combing over those pages, and my brain is tired of doing this, because on top of not of it just being a brutal scene, and the entire issue, literally down to the last page, is Batman trapped in that room with Alfred's body, trying to get out, but he can't. Like, he just can't get out. And it's him dealing with his own grief, with his own remorse. And the whole dialogue on those pages, though, is that Alfred knew this day was coming, that he knew that Batman had to get back into the city to save the city, and that Bane and Thomas had him as a hostage, and that Alfred was the last key to the puzzle, and once Alfred got free, he was supposed to signal, and that, you know, the Bat family would rush in, save the city, hurrah. And Alfred tried, and he straight up couldn't get free. So he knew that the city still needed to be saved, so he sacrificed himself. He sent Batman the signal that he was free when he wasn't, and knowing that he was going to die. And so he wrote Bruce a letter, and it's a whole father-to-son goodbye situation of him writing about, I served you for years, but all I wanted to see you was smile, to see you smile. And man, Batman 83, I'm telling you, it's a masterpiece of a book. But it really it's really good synopsis of who Alfred is as a character. And it really is a good synopsis of the concept we're talking about, of the fact that Alfred is a sacrificial servant, which is, you know, what Christians are called to be, not the self-righteous vigilante. And yeah, it's going to be a rough chapter, at least for me writing it. It might be like next to nothing for those who read it, but for the writing process, boy howdy, it's been painful. So dealing with that has been an adventure. Book 7 is, man, it's real close to done. Hold up, let's pull up the document. Book 7 has 42,000 words. Now, by sizes and standards, 45,000 words is about where I need to cut off, or 215, 220 pages, something like that, just for the cost effectiveness of it, because book 4 was a mistake in size, because book 4 is so big that I can't sell it at the price I sell it without losing money. I don't have to make money on everything. But every time I sell book 4 in person, it's a loss. I marked it up on Amazon because I had to, because I don't get a lot as much from an Amazon order. But I try and keep it like 215, something like that. And I'm real, real close to, I've got more book than I can affordably publish. But on the flip side, I might just go ahead and publish a big book and eat it. Because the other aspect of what I've been dealing with this weekend is that, you know, a lot of con life is shutting down with everything that's going on. And Heroes Con officially canceled on Friday, I believe, at like 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And Heroes Con was the first show I ever did. It was the first show I ever attended. It was the first show I ever got involved with. Like, I did my own cosplay contest because they didn't have one. And then, you know, they posted my cosplay contest on their website, and then they, you know, legit started a cosplay contest after that. So it was just one of those things, like, I've been involved, I've had a hand in doing stuff like this for a while, and I love Heroes. But Faith and Fandom Book 1 premiered at Heroes in 2014, and you know, my goal every year, whatever else is happening, is that I want to have a book ready to drop at HeroesCon. And, you know, with this announcement that HeroesCon, it's not rescheduling, they're not moving, they're straight up canceling, like, it's pretty discouraging, because that's, I literally pace my whole writing year to be on time for Heroes. And now it's just like, I don't even know what to do as far as the timing of this, because releasing a book online only goes so far. Like, I have a good, like, base for, like, social media content online. But, like, out of all the books sold by Faith and Fandom, period, like, 89% easily is in the con market and of getting that out there. So I really don't even know if it's functional to publish book 7 right now. But my editor for my books also runs a summer camp, and it looks like his summer camp is, you know, in jeopardy of not functioning either. Obviously, I think we all understand that. But it's a hard place to be. And I don't know exactly what we're going to do. And, you know, I obviously don't think that this is going to be the intro to the book anymore, but the intro to book 7 was legit. It's already written out. It's this long, heartfelt thing of, I've been on the road too much and I need to stop traveling as much. So I'm going to go real, real hard in 2020 and then, you know, basically retire from Comic-Con traveling and maybe stop publishing books as I have in a while. And then, you know, I had this literally written out in front of me, and now 2020 has turned into what it is. And I'm like, well, poop, you know, I'm not quitting. I'm not done. You know, I'm not finishing like this. But this is not how I had planned for the book release or anything like that. So it's just weird. And figuring out what we're doing, what I'm doing. You know, I say we and the, you know, the, you know, that type of dialogue when I'm talking Faith and Fandom, 99% is me. Vincent has, you know, life has been different for him lately, so we haven't done a lot of shows and stuff together and haven't done a lot of cons together, and his life has just been kind of different, and he's, you know, I don't know what's happening now, but he was moving to Tennessee, so like a lot of this really is just me. But I say we because there's a lot of people that are loving and supportive and help make this happen, even if they're not in there in official capacity. So if you ever hear me saying we and you're like, who are the other people? It's basically me and anybody that says I'm part of this. So if you say you're part of Faith and Fandom, that means you. But I don't know what we're doing. Obviously, we don't know what con life looks like. So many cons are being canceled. San Diego is canceled. I mean, there's so much uncertainty. But the thing is, of what I'm aware of and what I do know is that, even in this time, people need love and encouragement and compassion, and they need people that can celebrate the things that they love with them. So, even if we're not going to cons and doing things like that, there's still a vital role to be doing in all of these things. So yeah, that's what's happening. And, you know, there's another aspect of, what we're doing too is some of the chapters that have been written are shifting. Like I wrote a chapter on Ahsoka Tano and Church Hurt, but every episode of Clone Wars that is released kind of adds a layer to that. And my family is making its way through Star Wars Rebels right now, and Star Wars Rebels adds a lot more context to what happens to Ahsoka after Clone Wars. So, and it's kind of shifting around. I really have to have this book published and out before Mandalorian season 2 drops, because I ain't got time to wait for that to try and put something out. But it's been interesting to see how this plays out. But what I was going to say, the book currently is at 210 pages, and that's with no page breaks. Just straight through text the whole way, which that's not going to happen because our editor hates run-on paragraphs and loves for me to make smaller paragraphs and do things like that. So it will be a longer book. And let's see. The current chapters, if you haven't seen this online or you just want to hear it, and I'm going to wrap this up in a minute because I just needed a break. There's a chapter on Queel from, it's called He Has Spoken from Mandalorian. It's the chapter on The Walking Dead ending. If you were at GalaxyCon 2019 in Raleigh, I did a sermon on the end of The Walking Dead comic book, and this was the basis for that. Watchmen Could Have Done More, which is a chapter on Dr. Manhattan and his... There's a statement towards the end of the new season of Watchmen that, you know, states for all that he can do, he could have done more. And, you know, talking about the responsibility we have as Christians and, you know, just life in general, that we can do a lot more than we do with the time that we have and the resources we have. And so there's a chapter with that. There's a chapter on BoJack Horseman and the consequences and on consequences and condemnation. There's a guest chapter from Chris Cook over at One Cross Radio out of Canada. And he did a chapter on lessons from Pokemon Origins. There's a chapter on called Steve and Tony, Iron Sharpens Iron Man, which is, you know, basically looking at their relationship from the first Avengers movies through Endgame, and how they made each other grow. And there's a chapter on Demon Slayer and fighting for the Fallen. There's a chapter on Sonic Hedgehog and Fervent Prayer. Basically the concept that that movie was completely changed because people cried out and didn't give up crying out, in a sense. You know, that some people can look at that as like, you know, the whole cancel culture fighting back. On the flip side, you know, it shows that when our voices are confident and we cry out, that change can happen. And that I don't think anybody really believed Sony was going to change anything, but they were surprised when it did. And, you know, that, you know, some of us, we say our prayers and like go to God with that same confidence of like, I'm just complaining or saying these things, but I don't think anything's going to actually happen. You know, approaching prayer with that capacity, we have to like look at our prayers like, honestly, we know things can change when we call it to God. Let's see. There's a chapter on Vincent and the Doctor about, you know, well done, my good and faithful servant. Vincent Van Gogh, not Stevens. There's a chapter on Phineas and Ferb and just some character breakdowns that are applicable to our lives there with that. There's Ahsoka Tano and Church Hurt, Animal Crossing, Quarantine Island, which the more I play Animal Crossing, the more things I change in that chapter. And those are the ones that are in an Indiana Jones chapter from Joe Queen of Geeky Guys for God out of San Diego. So I'm working on Alfred right now. And then I've got three chapters that are going to push this book to being way too big. But one from Paul to Better Call Saul. If you listen to the last Faith and Fandom podcast, my friend John laid out some stuff in there that honestly was kind of the foundation for what's going to happen with that. There will be a chapter that I'm looking at on Firefly called Shepherd Book and the Subject of Kneecaps about, you know, doing what needs to be done, letting go of our, you know, self-made traditions and stuff to actually do whatever God needs us to do at the time. You know, like there's a statement from Craig Gross, everything short of sin is on the table. And so kind of looking at that. And then the last chapter that I have on deck that I'm looking at is Dwight Schrute. It's going to be like a character comparison of Dwight Schrute, Simon Peter, and Neville Longbottom. These guys that for a large part of their stories are just the comedic relief, but then turn into being the heart and soul of their organizations or their storylines. And that, you know, Dwight literally is the worst for almost 9 seasons, but towards the end of season 9, he literally becomes the most faithful and loyal person in the office. And, you know, there's that thing of like, we can be a joke in people's eyes for a long time, but there's going to come a point when we actually rise up and people don't question it. And, so there's that. That's what I'm looking at. That's what I'm working on. So I'm going to process this. I'm going to put it out. And then, I'm going to get back to reading sad panels of Alfred's dialogue and typing up this chapter. You know, this is another one of those weekends where I was supposed to be at a con. So it's just also a little raw with that as well. But, I hope you have a great day/night whenever you hear this. And thank you for supporting. Thank you for encouraging. Thank you for just being there and listening. And I will talk to you soon. Goodbye, Faith and Fandom peoples.